Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQBar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQBar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Let me back up and ask a different question. Given the fact that you are the ranking officer, the way that it works in a police department is everybody sort of reports up the chain of command, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So they would have all reported up to you in some particular.
That's correct.
And then, of course, you report to the, I think you're the deputy chief, and then the deputy chief reports on up to the chief, correct?
That is correct.
You were involved in not only the exposing of some of that blood byproduct, but also exposing the glass with the leaf blower, correct?
That is correct.
You were responsible for utilizing certain equipment. You chose a leaf blower at the time, correct?
I did, yes.
There was also, I'm guessing, there was also some use of your hands and or the gloved hands with some others to recover some of the items.
Yeah, I didn't use my hands.
No. How did you get the glass into a bag?
That was Detective Sergeant Lank.
Somebody had to pick it up, right?
Correct.
That's what I mean. The use of hands to manipulate some of the evidence, correct?
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't understand that question.
That's okay.
I thought you were speaking about me.
It's probably my fault, not yours.
Nope, that's okay.
There was also some plastic cups that we've talked about. We'll talk more about those in a second. Those were utilized as well, correct?
They were, yes.
And you were responsible for the use of those as well?
Yes. It was my decision, yes.
In terms of the search of the scene, the recovery of evidence, the recovery of biological material, the use of tools to recover those biological materials, all of that rested, at least ultimately at the scene, on your shoulders, correct?
Yes, it did.
Isn't it true that you weren't interviewed in this case with regard to anything having to do with this case until April 3rd, 2024, correct?
Yes, we can call it an interview. It's when I met with the prosecutor, yes.
And that was about 2.5 years, nearly 2.5 years after this incident, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Michael Proctor, you know that name?
I do.
Who is Michael Proctor?
He was one of the troopers assigned to investigate the case.
As a matter of fact, he was the lead investigator for the case, correct?
I don't know if he was lead or Trooper Buchanan. I don't know.
As you sit here, you don't know that Michael Proctor was the lead case agent for...
I know he was one of them, yes.
Okay. Do you know that he was the lead investigator assigned to the case?
I don't. I had nothing to do with the DA's office.
Right. I know you didn't have...
I don't know how they assign their cases, counsel. I don't know what you want me to say. I can't say what I don't know.
Mr. Gallagher, I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking if...
I did not know he was lead. I knew he was one of the leads.
Okay.
I believe they do it in a tandem, but I'm not sure.
Okay. He may have had a partner, correct?
That is correct, yes.
But it's not unusual to have a lead case agent, the person who's responsible for most of the search warrant writing and the memorialization of and documentation of evidence collection and the movement of evidence and booking into evidence, things like that.
That is correct, but I don't know anything about who wrote their affidavits or who logged their evidence in. I wouldn't know that.
You're also familiar with Yuri Buchanan, correct?
I know who he is.
You're also familiar with Lieutenant Tully?
I know, yes.
They're all Massachusetts State Police officers, correct?
Yes, they all are.
Did
yes.
Michael Proctor interview you before April of 2024?
He did not.
Did Yuri Buchanan interview you before April of 2024?
No, he did not.
Did Lieutenant Tully interview you before April of 2024?
No, he did not.
Did anybody else from the Canton Police Department, your deputy chief or the chief, interview you formally about your conduct and responsibilities before April of 2024?
I don't understand that question.
Did anybody at Canton PD, separating out Massachusetts State Police,
correct.
Did you sit down at Canton PD and provide an interview with anybody at Canton PD about your conduct at the scene?
What do you mean by conduct?
Going to the scene, collecting evidence, securing evidence, transporting evidence, booking evidence, those kinds of things. Your conduct at the scene, sir.
Yeah, I briefed my superiors, yes.
Okay, other than briefing, was there a formal report written?
No.
Or a formal interview conducted of you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Tell us when you wrote your report about what happened at the scene, memorializing what you did at the scene.
I didn't.
You didn't write a report?
About the scene that day at the scene?
Correct, about this investigation.
I only did the metadata report. I did not write a report at the scene.
The fact is you never wrote any report about what happened at the scene, correct?
Correct.
You didn't memorialize that in any formal way on Canton PD letterhead to describe what you did and how you did it at the scene?
No.
Normally when you report to a scene as a first responder, you would be expected to write a report about that, whatever that conduct is.
I'm not the supervisor, no.
What if you're the ranking person at a scene that ultimately turns into a homicide scene?
Well, we don't know it's a homicide scene at this time. We don't even know there's a crime committed at this time.
Understood.
My responsibilities are to make sure reports are written, not to necessarily write the reports myself. I'm the supervisor.
Although,
my job to make sure reports are written, evidence is logged, those types of things.
Under ordinary circumstances, you would respond to a scene as a supervisor, and you would oversee what other people are doing, what you're
supporting. That's correct.
Can I finish?
Sure.
I don't want to talk over each other.
I apologize.
You would want to supervise or oversee what your subordinate officers, whatever he or she might be doing or they might be doing, you're going to oversee that. But they're the ones actually conducting the investigation or picking up evidence or doing the interviews, writing those things of that nature.
Correct. Detective Sergeant Likes investigation, yes.
So in that circumstance, you wouldn't be expected to write a report because all of that conduct is memorialized by others subordinate to the supervisor, correct?
Correct.
But in this case, quite the opposite happened. You were the one that was in the video utilizing the leafblower, correct?
That's correct.
You were the one that actually exposed the drinking glass, correct?
Correct, yes.
You noted the drinking glass and actually called somebody else over to take a look at it, correct?
That's correct.
You directed someone, Sergeant Lang, to pick up the drinking glass and recover it as a potential piece of evidence, correct?
That is correct.
You noted the blood or the coagulation of blood in and around that area, correct?
That is correct.
You noted where you believe the drinking glass was, in other words, what location, if there were grid coordinates, where it would be, correct?
Correct.
And you instructed others to transport that important evidence back to Canton PD to have it booked, correct?
That is correct.
You also secured the plastic containers in which to recover the blood.
That is correct.
You also directed someone to get a bag to put the plastic containers in and ultimately transport it, correct?
That is correct.
So you would agree with me, Mr. Gallagher, that in this circumstance, you were the centerpiece of the recovery of evidence and the investigation as it was at that time in that limited context. You were the centerpiece of what was happening at the scene, correct?
And I made sure it was documented by Detective Sergeant Lang.
But you didn't find it important enough to write a report yourself.
I think that's poor misrepresentation. There's a person fighting for their life. It was very important.
When you were there at the scene, at what time was it, by the way?
I got there shortly after 7.
Okay, you knew that that person who was fighting for his life had already been transported and was in good care, as best care we can provide at Good Samaritan Hospital, correct?
That is correct.
So certainly you're not excusing away the idea that you didn't memorialize your conduct because you were too busy fighting for someone's life. That's not what you're saying.
No, definitely not what I'm saying.
Obviously, reporting to a scene and supervising a scene is one thing, but actually gathering evidence is a whole next level. You would agree with that?
Sure.
Because, just to put a fine point on it, responding to a scene as a supervisor, you want to make sure everybody's doing their duty, but the officer or officers who, for instance, uncover, let's say it's a knife or a gun or some weapon or something like that, actually documenting and picking up that evidence and handling it in an appropriate way, that is all highly, highly technical. It's very important to get it right and memorialize it all, correct?
That is correct.
That's why you're highly trained to memorialize and report everything that you do in that regard in a report that can later be used forensically, in other words, in a courtroom setting, to recreate as best you can with as much detail as you can exactly what you did and how you did it and where it was done, correct?
Sure, yes.
Officer Lank wrote a report in this case.
Sure.
Did Officer Mullaney?
I believe he did, yes.
Did Officer Serif?
Yes.
And Officer Good? Sergeant
yes.
Good?
Yes.
But you did not?
I did not.
Who was the first officer to find any potential physical evidence at the scene, be it blood or glass?
I can't answer that. It was not me. I was not the... The first thing that was spotted was the pink spotting, not the glass.
Okay. Who was the first person to see the glass?
I think it was myself as I uncovered it with the leaf blower.
One of the important things that we've talked about, Mr. Gallagher, is documenting the details of evidence recovery, not just the fact that something was recovered, correct?
That's correct.
So you'd want to know what time of day it was recovered, correct?
Sure.
You'd want to know who was there and who was around when it was recovered, correct?
Yes.
You'd want to know what the item is, the condition of the item, right?
Yes.
You'd also want to know exactly where it's recovered, correct?
Yes.
In other words, as best you can to pinpoint the exact location where an item was found. That
yes.
could play a huge role in any investigation, be it criminal or otherwise.
It could. It could.
Did you diagram or draw a diagram back at Canton PD or
I did
out
not.
At the scene?
No.
About where that glass was found?
No, I did no reports or diagrams.
Did you diagram exactly where you recovered the blood spots that you did recover?
No.
Did you at least, if you did write a report, did you at least take notes on a pad about what you were doing?
Yeah, conditions weren't, it was pretty hard to take notes at that time, but I did not take notes, no.
At some point, you mentioned a person by the name of Tom Kelleher, Deputy Chief Kelleher.
That's correct.
Who is Deputy Chief Kelleher?
He's the deputy chief of Canton Police.
He was active on active duty at the time? When I say active duty, I don't mean that morning, that hour. I mean just generally.
Yes, he was a lieutenant at that time.
He was someone to whom, as a matter of fact, probably the only person to whom at Canton PD you actually reported, correct? Up the chain of command. He was the only person to whom you reported up the chain of command, meaning he was your direct report.
He was in charge of detectives at that time. Yes.
And then, of course, the chief would be above him, correct?
Deputy chief and chief.
Okay. When you responded to the scene, Deputy Chief Kelleher did not come out of his house and take over the investigation, correct?
Correct.
That was yours to detail.
That is correct.
At least while you were there.
That is correct.
So can you describe what you did to preserve the crime scene? I'm sorry, to preserve the scene, because at that time you said you did not know if it was a crime scene. Is that right?
That's correct.
What did you do in terms of actually preserving the scene for later investigation? What steps did you take?
For later, can you explain later investigation?
So let me take a step back.
Sure.
Have you been trained to preserve scenes?
Yes.
Okay. What's the reason that you want to preserve a scene? What does that mean?
Collect evidence.
Collect evidence and make sure nothing is disturbed, correct?
Correct.
Civilians can't kind of traipse through, walk through evidence, correct?
That's correct.
You've heard the phrase, forensically, evidence in, evidence out. Someone traipse through a crime scene, you bring evidence with you, and you take it back out. It's on your shoes or on your feet or your breath or your saliva, whatever it might be. Correct?
Very familiar with that, yes.
Preserving the scene is best efforts, is best practices to make sure that nothing is moved, touched, messed with in any way, correct?
That's correct, and that's what was done here.
What did you do? That's my question. What did you do to preserve that scene?
So there was nobody, there were no civilians ever to trample through. Were rescue efforts made on Mr. O'Keefe? Yes, that's priority. So rescue workers do go into any type of scene. Medical life-saving measures come first. Once all apparatus was off scene, the original officers put out crime scene tape to mark an area. And later, it was documented, it was photographed, and evidence was collected.
And it was searched by you, at least initially with the leaf blower.
Correct.
Okay. So you were interested in the area that, by the way, I want to clear this up, make sure I'm not mistaken. You described for Mr. Brennan basically where Mr. O'Keefe's body was, correct?
Yes, yes.
You never saw his body in situ. You never saw his body in place.
That is correct.
You were told by Sergeant Lank generally where his body was, correct?
Yes, and Sergeant Lank actually never saw Mr. O'Keefe either.
That's my next question.
Okay, and Mr. Good, and Sergeant Good as well.
Right. Never saw, Sergeant Lank never saw John O'Keefe actually in place, correct?
That is correct.
So you're receiving information from Sergeant Lank that he did not have personal knowledge of, and then you're providing that information later to crime scene investigators who are trying to establish a diagram or some sort of a chart about where that evidence was, where the drinking glass was, where his body was, correct?
No, I never spoke to anybody in that manner about
Didn't you ultimately go out to the scene along with others at Massachusetts State Police when they had a drone overhead?
No, you're mistaken. I can clarify it for you if you wish.
Sure.
So on February 1st, after the execution of the warrant, they wanted to go down to the scene. It was Trooper Proctor and somebody from the CARS team. I'm not sure of the name. Once they got down there, I did show them where I was shown John O'Keefe was. They did want to put up a drone, but they could not do it because they were too close to Norwood Airport and because of FAA regulations.
Okay.
And that was the last of my involvement with that. I hope that clarifies things for you.
Forget the drone. I'm interested in the first part, which was you accompanied Trooper Proctor to
correct.
The scene, correct?
Correct.
There were other members of CARS, C-A-R-S.
I think there was one. Crash Accident Reconstruction Section, I'm assuming.
Okay, so it's a member of MSP who does forensic diagrams, correct?
I would say. I don't know if they do diagrams. I don't know what they do.
Or reconstruction of some sort.
Sure, reconstruction of some sort.
So you were there to help provide information about where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found, correct?
And be a Canton police officer present in case any neighbors had come out.
So you were there to help provide information about, or at least you did provide information to them about where Mr. O'Keefe's body was found.
Oh, sure, yes. Okay.
Except you didn't see Mr. O'Keefe's body, did you?
No, I did not.
So that was a yes on your part.
It was what I was shown. It's the information I had.
Yeah, it was the information you were told by Sergeant Lang, correct?
Yes.
Who also didn't see John O'Keefe in place on the ground at 34 Ferry, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So his would be a yes also, correct?
Well, we're going backwards. So he was told by Sergeant Good and et cetera. So it was information passed along, which is what police officers do.
Right. But the person, the police officer that was out there at the scene, who was helping the reconstructionist establish the formal report and the CARS report, was an officer who not only didn't see where John McKee's body was, you got information about where John's body was from someone who didn't see it either. Can we at least agree
no,
on that?
You have to go back to the beginning. I didn't understand the beginning of that question.
Sure,
so very
I'll
long.
Try it again. The point is, Mr. Gallagher, you happen to be tapped as the person who is going to assist the CARS folks, the MSP, in creating their CARS, their CARS report.
No.
Isn't it true that you accompanied Trooper Proctor and members of the CARS unit to document Fairview Road and the scene of the incident?
Yeah, I thought I explained it could not be done.
Okay.
So I only went to show them where Mr. O'Keefe was and in case any neighbors came out. I wasn't there to assist in any documentation at all.
You were there. You know who Brian Tully is?
I do.
Have you reviewed Brian Tully's report?
I have not. You showed me one section of it.
Is it true that what you actually told Brian Tully is that you went with Trooper Proctor and you're already shaking your head now? I didn't finish the question.
No.
I got that part wrong? You accompanied Trooper Proctor?
No, what's wrong is I was interviewed by Lieutenant Tully. That was a meeting I had with Prosecutor Lally.
Okay.
Trooper Tully was present. Trooper Tully never asked me any questions. I don't recall Trooper Tully ever asking me a question,
right,
sir.
So let me be a little bit more defined. So in Trooper Tully's report, where he reports what you said, you were actually talking to Adam Lally, my colleague sitting up in front.
Correct.
Okay. So now we've got that cleared up. Let me ask you again. Did you say in front of Trooper Tully that you accompanied Trooper Proctor and members of the CARS unit to document Fairview Road?
Meaning they were documenting Fairview Road. Not clear. The report's not clear. They were going to document Fairview Road, not me.
So you just said something that I want to follow up on.
Okay.
The report's not clear, correct?
That's correct.
So that's an inaccurate report.
I wouldn't call it inaccurate at all. I'm just saying you're misinterpreting the wording.
I see. And I'm misinterpreting it even though I just read it directly from the report.
Yeah, sometimes sentences have different meanings.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Okay. The reality is you did end up going to the scene, correct?
I did.
And you accompanied, I don't want to use a word that you'll challenge, you went with Trooper Proctor, correct?
I took my cruise into 34 Fairview, yes.
You were there at the same time Trooper Proctor was?
Yes.
And you were aware that the CARS team was there so that they could document the scene, correct?
I don't know what the purpose of the drone was. I'm not familiar with that section. I thought I answered that question. I'm not familiar with what they do.
But you do believe that as you sit here, you were there, we weren't. You
right.
do believe that that's the reason that they were there was to document the scene.
Put up a drone.
Okay.
I don't know what you mean by document. I don't know if it was to photograph, I guess, which if you mean by document photograph, I guess it could, I would agree. If it means take measurements, I wouldn't know.
Okay. Did you tell any of the members of the CARS team where you believed John's body was?
I believe it was Trooper Proctor, but I believe he was there, yes.
Trooper Proctor obviously was not there when John's body was there either, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So he would have gotten that information
from you. That is correct.
So now that's three people.
It's probably more, quite honestly, yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about this report.
Correct.
CARS report. That's three people in line none of whom saw John's body, John O'Keefe's body, as it lay in the lawn when he was hurt.
That is correct, yes.
And there's no photographs.
Of
Mr. O'Keefe.
Oh, no.
At the location.
No, we wouldn't, nobody would photograph somebody undergoing life-saving measures. Wouldn't be appropriate.
There's no video, specifically.
They wouldn't take video of somebody undergoing life-saving measurements.
There's no body cam.
We don't have body cameras.
There's no dash cam that shows it.
Well, dash cameras would be on the road. Mr. O'Keefe was approximately 8 to 10 feet off the road.
Well, hang on a second. You're not sure where Mr. O'Keefe was because you never saw him.
That's why I used a range, yes.
Right.
I know where the blood was. I know where the glass was.
Right. If you don't know if he was 7 to 9 feet off.
That's correct.
Or 12 feet off. You can't say.
I could only approximately. You are correct, yes.
You did meet with Officer Seraph. You met with all the officers when you arrived at the scene, correct?
Yes.
And Officer Seraph had been there from the beginning of the morning?
Yes.
Officer Seraph didn't report to you at that time any statements attributable to my client, did he?
He did not, no.
You later went back to 34 Fairview with Sergeant Lank.
That's correct.
And you rode back, did you ride back to Canton PD with Sergeant Lank or separate cruisers?
Which time? I apologize.
I'm sorry. That's a vague question on my part. You went back to 34 Fairview with just Officer Lank, and you described the circumstance in which you went in, you were let in by Brian Albert, he went to the kitchen, you were in the family room or some other place.
Right by the kitchen, yeah.
The room
off the kitchen, yes.
Okay, so right next to where he was interviewing...
That's correct.
Jennifer McCabe.
Yes.
Did you ride back from that meeting with, or that event, to Canton PD with Sergeant Lank?
Yes.
And Sergeant Lank didn't say anything to you about his interview with Jennifer McCabe at that time?
I don't recall our conversation on the way back.
Okay. And you didn't write a report about any conversation that you had with Officer Seraph? You didn't write a report about any conversation you had with Sergeant Lank?
No, they're responsible for writing their own reports.
Got it. You did say that let me back up and ask a different question. You testified about a year ago in another proceeding. You talked a little bit about the evidence collection of the biological material, the blood, or I'm guessing at that time, presumed blood. You haven't done any testing.
That's correct, yes, sir.
But you assumed it was blood just because of your experience and it looked like it could be blood on the street.
That's correct.
How far were you from Canton PD, approximately?
Mile and a half.
You had your cruiser with you?
I had my personal vehicle with me.
Your personal vehicle. In other words, you were ambulatory. You could get from point A to point B if you wanted to.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I was the scene supervisor. I wasn't leaving the scene.
Okay. But you also had subordinate folks at the scene that you could have dispatched had you wanted to.
Correct.
They all had cruisers?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Or personal vehicles. I'm not sure which.
I'm sorry?
Or personal vehicles. I'm not sure which.
I was the only one with a personal vehicle. Detective Sergeant Lank had a Toyota Tundra pickup truck that is not marked, but it's assigned to our detective unit.
So if you wished to, as a ranking officer out of the scene, you could have dispatched one or more of those officers to run an errand to go do something in furtherance of the investigation had you wanted to?
Yeah, I actually did that.
Okay, you did. What did
yes.
you do in that regard?
Remember, I sent Sergeant Good to get the leaf blow.
Got it. You also know that Canton PD has evidence collection bags at Canton PD.
Yes.
You also know that they have materials and tools to gather biological material, correct?
We do have swabs, yes.
And those swabs go in little containers to maintain their sanitary nature, correct?
That is correct, yes.
In other words, if you see a blood stain, you don't just walk up with a Kleenex that you find on the ground to wipe it up. There's your blood stain. There's a process for gathering that type of evidence, correct?
Sure. If you're looking for DNA, you can use a bloody Kleenex, to your point.
It'd be kind of an emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. My point exactly.
But if you're a mile from the Canton PD,
yeah.
You could have gone back and done a swab.
Could have.
But you didn't.
Didn't want to because of the weather, because you just said because it's an emergency. And we thought it was an emergency there. I mean, the storm was coming down terribly. And I believe if we didn't collect that biological matter, we weren't going to get that biological matter.
But technically, he was a mile and a half away, four or five minutes.
In a blizzard?
Still, in a blizzard, I feel like it's 3 minutes in good weather, probably 4, 5, 6 minutes in a blizzard, correct?
I'm not sure.
So let's call it 12, 15 minutes. You certainly could have gone, but if you wanted to, you could have dispatched one of your officers to go back and get swabs and properly collect the blood material. Correct?
Sure, sure. And I believed 15 minutes would have made a difference.
And what you did instead is, well, 15 minutes would have made a difference, but you asked Sergeant Good to drive to his house and get a leaf blower.
Yes, and while he was doing that, we were documenting the scene with photographs.
You could have documented the scene with photographs even if you went back and get a swab. What's the difference?
Because we were ongoing. It was ongoing. I wasn't leaving the scene.
I didn't ask you to leave the scene. I mean, I didn't ask you if you were leaving the scene.
I needed the other officers. We talked about scene security. I already let one officer go. I now have three left. We're securing that scene.
So you saw pink stains in the snow, correct?
That's correct.
And you said, Officer Good, probably call him Sean, Sarge, go home and get a leaf blower.
That is correct.
Could have said, Officer Mullaney, get your butt over to Canton PD and pick up 10 swabs, correct?
He wouldn't have had access to the swabs.
Oh, so now one of your officers could have gotten the swabs, even if the lieutenant, a ranking lieutenant, had dispatched him to go get a swab.
Because he doesn't have access to the BCI, the office of BCI, where our stuff is kept.
Could you have made a phone call?
No, nobody there would have had access at that time. It was only Officer Dever on the desk.
So you're the only person that could have gotten those swabs?
Sergeant Lang could have gotten them as well.
So Sergeant Lang could have too?
Sure.
But you didn't send them?
No, definitely didn't.
Okay. What you did do, however, is you went to the neighbor's house. That would be Tom Kellerman, right?
The lieutenant of detectives, yes.
Right. And Lieutenant Kelleher gave you red Solo cups.
Yes. I asked for plastic or glass containers. He had Solo cups, and I utilized them.
The same kind of Solo cups that we all see at backyard barbecues.
Yep, they hold liquid terrifically.
They're also not sealed, correct?
They are not.
They're also not used normally. I mean, they were here. They're not normally used for evidence collection, correct?
Oh, absolutely not.
And then you decided you needed to transport that very important biological material back to Canton PD for storage and safekeeping, correct?
That's correct.
And why was it important to transport that blood material? So what are the factors that you considered weighed and balanced in terms of getting that material back to Canton PD in good condition, sanitary condition?
So a criminalist could extract a proper DNA sample.
What would happen, for instance, if that blood material, I don't know, were contaminated?
Contaminated how?
You tell me. You're the professional.
So DNA is pretty hardy, pretty forensically stable. The only things that are going to harm it are radiation, ultraviolet light, harsh chemicals such as bleach. That's not present here. Then you would have two sets of DNA when it's tested, which would benefit you.
Well, it depends on whose DNA it is.
That's right? Correct. That's correct.
Right. Yes. While you were, I'm going to stay on this for a second. So obviously there's a reason why blood swabs or biological swabs are handled with such care. For instance, a DNA analyst is going to put on gloves.
Correct.
Oftentimes they're going to put on a mask, correct?
I don't know about that.
Oftentimes they put on goggles, is that right?
It depends what they're testing.
Right.
Yeah.
But in order to go out and collect something, you'll see CSI, crime scene investigators, in full body suits when you
sure.
walk into a crime scene.
Yeah, you can.
Because you don't want to contaminate the scene with your own hair off your arm or an eyelash falling into a, a blood stain, correct?
That is correct.
Right. So there are protocols. I mean, you said just a second ago, Scalder, well, it's DNA. Unless somebody pours bleach in it, you're pretty much golden, right? That's not quite the fact, is it?
And that's not quite what I said.
No, it's not quite what you said. You were suggesting that it's hardy enough that it doesn't really matter
if it's
contaminated or not. If there's multiple people's DNA, it just benefits everybody.
No, I simply asked what you meant by contamination.
Okay. So it could be contaminated with debris, is that right?
Sure it can.
It could be contaminated with other people's DNA, is that right?
It can.
It could be contaminated with foreign items, foreign either aerosols or somebody's spittle when you're talking, correct?
Sure.
Contaminated with a thousand things.
Hypothetically.
Right. Of course, these Solo cups didn't have lids on them, right?
They did not.
They were open?
Yes.
You didn't photograph where you picked up the samples?
No.
You didn't document where you picked up the samples?
No.
So if the samples were in six, how many Solo cups were there?
Six.
Six Solo cups. We don't know as we sit here where each of those Solo cups' contents came from specifically, do we?
Specifically, no.
Okay. Then those Solo cups with no lids were placed into a bag, right?
That's correct.
You said on direct examination that this was a brown paper bag, right?
It is. Stop and Shop, I believe.
And you said that Stop and Shop bag is, other than having the words Stop and Shop on it versus evidence on it, basically the one and the same thing.
Same dimensions, made out of the same materials, yes.
Right. But with an evidence bag, you know exactly where it came from and who's handling it.
Not necessarily.
Comes from a manufacturer.
Sure.
Whose job it is to secure those bags so that they are not mishandled, so they can have some sort of bona fides that they're clean and ready to accept evidence. In, say, for instance, I don't know, the investigation of a homicide of a police officer.
Okay.
Important stuff, right?
We're not at a homicide of a police officer at this point.
I'm just talking about evidence bags in general. Evidence bags in general. In other words, I'm trying to think about some of the most important investigations around. The manufacturers of those evidence bags manufacture them and send them in a way so that their bona fides, the provenance of those bags, is maintained, correct, and protected.
That's the way they ship them, yes.
Right. And Canton PD pays extra money for those bags for that very purpose.
I'm sure they do, yes.
You mentioned almost tongue-in-cheek, look, except for the price, yeah. They're probably pretty close.
Yes.
There's a reason that there's a price difference, right?
What would the reason, what's the reason?
Well, it's not the shop, I can go pay 10 cents for that bag, because I don't really give a hoot where it's been, or who's handling it. Right? It's got my milk and my eggs in it, really don't care.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they price it. Because of how they package it, I don't have any knowledge of that.
Well, you're the one that mentioned the price.
No. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I'm sorry, we're speaking over each other. Okay.
I apologize.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gallagher, you gotta wait for me.
Yep.
There's a reason. My point is there's a reason, right?
Yes.
That evidence bags are more expensive because there is a way they're manufactured and they're taken care of, and Canton PD is willing to pay that extra price like every other law enforcement agency because of that, correct?
Yes.
All right. So they're not quite the same, are they?
No.
Those Solo cups were placed in the evidence bag uncovered.
Yes.
The evidence bag was then placed in Sergeant Lank's vehicle?
It was closed and Sergeant Lank transported it to his vehicle, yes.
Okay. When you say closed, you mean the top of it was rolled up?
Correct.
Or folded over?
Correct.
Okay. It wasn't forensically sealed?
Not at that time, no.
There was no evidence tape that went on it?
Not at that time, no.
Matter of fact, the cups were still open and could slosh around. Assume they melted.
Yes.
There's liquid blood and liquid water, like
that's correct.
Snow.
That's correct.
And you indicated that those were, at least you believe, those were placed in an evidence locker, temporary evidence locker, correct?
No, the blood samples were put in a refrigerated unit.
My mistake. I thought the refrigerator was the temporary storage locker. It's different?
Yes, lockers are not refrigerated. That's where the glass would go into a locker.
Okay. This was placed into an evidence refrigerator.
That's correct.
That was to maintain the integrity of the sample, the biological sample, inside the cups, correct?
That's correct.
You have an evidence log
of that?
I don't, no.
You've never seen an evidence log indicating that those were actually put into a refrigerated
I removed them myself, so I know they were in the refrigerator unit.
When did you remove them?
On February 1st.
Right. We're talking about January 29th. They were taken to Canton PD by Officer Lang, Sergeant Lang, on January 29th. I'm just asking, well, let me ask a foundational question. Does Canton PD maintain something called evidence logs?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not the evidence officer.
No.
There is, it's all computerized.
Right.
So like I explained earlier, when they do get logged in, the officer puts the description of the property, hits the space bar, and the computer generates an evidence number.
Right. And that evidence number is associated with just that piece of evidence?
Just that piece of evidence, correct.
And every time it's checked out or put back in, there is a log created, correct?
They do it by computer, yes.
It's a digital fingerprint?
Correct.
All right. I mean, you're a former narco specialist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did narcotics for years, right?
I did.
Drugs, about the most sensitive thing out there, right? I mean, you get a bottle of fentanyl, you're not just going to set it on the evidence object's desk. You're going to make sure that damn thing gets logged exactly how it's supposed to, correct?
Of course.
Because it needs to have a trace of where it goes and who touches it and who has access to it, correct?
That is correct.
You've never seen an evidence log for these items that were taken from 34 Fairview and supposedly put into because you took them out, and ultimately went into a refrigerated evidence log.
Yeah, I wouldn't have access to the evidence log. Our evidence room is a very strict process. There's only two people that can even have access to the permanent, once it goes into permanent evidence. And it's the admin sergeant that changes the custody when it comes out for court, if an item has to come out for court, or if it has to be transported to another agency, or if an officer needs it removed from evidence for further inspection, the admin sergeant would take care of that.
That's the way it's...
Mr. Jackson, you're not going to finish today, right?
No, I'm not.
In two minutes?
Two questions, and I'm also...
All right, two questions.
Thank you. That's the way it's supposed to work, correct?
Yes.
But you've never, as you sit here, you've never seen an evidence log determining where that blood went and who was handling it between January 29th and February 1st.
I have never seen an evidence log.
That's all I had, Your Honor, at least at this time.
All right, Lieutenant, we're going to have you come back tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The jury files that you can file right now.
Thank you.
So, jurors, that's it for today. The same three, four cautions. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, read anything about it, please disregard it and let us know tomorrow, and be very careful with your social media use. All right, see you tomorrow.
All rise for the court, please. Jurors, close your notebooks, follow me.
Goodbye.
You don't need me for anything, right?
No, Your Honor.
There's one very, right. Very short issue.
Please be seated.
That's how I'll report permission.
Yes.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and Yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.